Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We continue to celebrate this All Saints Week, but today is All Souls Day, right? It's also a very special day. And All Souls Day is what? It's a solemn celebration in the Catholic Church commemorating all those who have died and are now in purgatory, being cleansed of their venial sins, the temporal punishments for their mortal sins that they had confessed, and being made pure before entering into the presence of God in heaven. They're on their way. Remember now, when we die, right? We die once. And when we die, we're going to go to essentially one of two places, ultimately. We're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. And everyone who goes to heaven is a saint. By getting there just means you're a saint, right? It's saints who go to heaven, those who said yes to Christ. Now, when we die, we're not all ready to go directly to heaven. So the church teaches us about the reality of purgatory. That is a purgation, a time, a period of purification. This goes back to what I talked about earlier in the week, the promise Jesus makes to us. When he commands us, when he says to us, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That sounds like an impossibility, right? I mean, how can we be perfect as God is perfect? Well, Jesus knows better than anybody that we certainly aren't perfect and we can't do it on our own. But what Jesus is saying is, the commission he's been given by the Father is to come and seek and save the lost, the imperfect, the sinful, the fallen, the broken. That's the whole human race. And to come and to bring them back, the image of God, those who are made to be children of the Father who are now alienated and are now strangers are brought back and are brought into the family of God. Jesus promises the Father, essentially, to present you and me perfect before the Father. It's part of his commission. He didn't come just to take away our sin. He did that fundamental. That's the starting point. First, he takes on human flesh to become one of us so that he now, the head, the second Adam, the head of this, what will become this new race of people, he's able to lay down his life for our sins because he became one of us. And so in the shedding of his blood, he breaks the power of sin's hold on us, and he purifies those who say yes to him and enter into new life with him in baptism. And then we're empowered by the Holy Spirit with a new life, the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that power at work in us now, Jesus, who is our master, our Lord, he's our mentor, our discipler, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, he begins the process in this life of perfecting us. The saints are those people, those sinners, who've been forgiven, who have radically responded to Jesus' work in them. As we talked about yesterday, we looked at some of the things that Father Thomas Dubé wrote about that are common characteristics of the saints in a book entitled, I believe, To Become a Saint, How to Become a Saint. At least it's at least the chapter if it's not the book. But if we die before that perfection happens, there's going to be a time, a place of purification in which Jesus finishes this work of removing from us anything that is not consistent with total love, the total love of God. He's going to purify us. No one can see the Father's face and live, right? Without what? Without God's grace, without this work. To come into the Father's presence, to live in his love, that purifying fire of love, we've got to be purified first. So that's who we're praying for today. And Lord, we pray for everyone who today who's in purgatory. We pray for our family members in particular who may be there, fathers, mothers, children. And we beg you, Lord Jesus Christ, in your name, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray and ask that you bring them to full purification. We cry out for them. We know we're united to them right now in the body of Christ. They are members of the body of Christ. They're not out in some place stuck on their own. They are literally on their way to heaven. And so this mysterious process called purgatory is something that we should have as our prayer, and we should be praying for them. So that's what this All Souls Day is all about. So I'd like to complete what we began yesterday. Looked at Father Dubé gave us 15 characteristics of the saints that we should think about in becoming saints. And remember, the most important thing in this world is for us to become saints. That's it, flat out. To die with everything in this world, but to not die a saint, means that your life is an absolute failure. That's really, really true. And so the world that we live in, the noise of the world, the lights, the glitz, the everything in this world pays no attention to this fundamental reality. In fact, most of it is geared toward moving us in a direction of distraction, of indifference about God and God's claim, and certainly not promoting and helping us get radical about following Jesus, about becoming a saint, and thinking about it every day. In fact, what the world is sort of set up to do is to get us to be preoccupied about other things, mostly consuming, having, buying, you know, feeding our pleasures, seeing the world as a zero-sum game and making sure that we get ahead of everybody else. My neighbor is maybe not my enemy, but he's a threat to my full success. I need to put myself first, not others first. All of that, those are the values of the world and more. If we live in that stream of things, if we take on those values and the habit patterns that lead to that definition of success, and we die there, we're going to die separated from God. Despite what some preachers and teachers might want to say about this world, that everybody's going to be saved, that just kind of get after what your heart desire is, just go for it, follow your own bliss, all that. You're eventually going to get to heaven if there is a heaven, all of that. That's a lie. That's not true. To get to heaven requires that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, and to engage in his mission. Love God, love neighbor, make disciples. That's the life of Jesus. And how you get there is hearing the gospel, saying yes to Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, having our sins forgiven, being baptized into him, and then living in his body, living in his church, and radically running together. So the saints, the church is meant to be that body of people on the earth, forgiven sinners, who are radically, radically seeking Jesus. And of course, we see revealed writ large in newspapers today and the rest of it. We know in our own lives that we don't radically pursue God. Some of us do. Many of us don't. Many of the baptized are lukewarm and indifferent. Their salt has gone flat. Their light has gone dim. That's danger. There should be, you know, lights flashing. If that's where you are, you're living in the danger zone. You can't live in the twilight. You can't live in the dark. You need to come into the light. That's what it means to be a saint and to be on the way to sainthood. Okay? And to become a saint is to cooperate with the work of God in you. God makes saints. I don't make saints. We don't make saints. We trust God. We say yes to him, and we cooperate with that work, and our cooperation really does matter. But fundamentally, it's a work of God in us to which we cooperate. So I left off with number 7 yesterday. I'm going to go through these real quick again. What were these characteristics? Number 1, they were determined. They had a drive. Number 2, they were all in. It was a total surrender to God's plan and purpose. It was radical. It went right to the root system. They wanted the full root system of their lives, the habit patterns of sin, their ways of thinking. They wanted it to be uprooted. They were specific. They had a plan. They knew what their faults were. With the help of God and spiritual directors and others, they knew what their faults were, and then they systematically put them before the Lord and came up with plans to fight against things like pride, the 7 deadly sins, and the rest of it. They practiced the particular examine, stopping periodically during the day and asking the question, where's my mind been, and my heart and will and behavior and my speech been throughout the day here? Am I living in a way that's aligned with the Lord? Am I surrendering to his grace and practicing his presence in the day? He said then number 6 was frequent confession. That's at least once a month, twice a month. The church says you only have to go once a year ultimately, but the church isn't saying that's an ideal. That's a minimum. You know, the saints went after the ideal. They wanted whatever grace they could get to become a saint, they went after it. I mean, think about it. Anybody who wants to be an NFL superstar, right? You're gonna take every kind of coaching, every kind of help and opportunity and advantage you can. You're going to go after it. We see that all the time as people pursue goals in this world. The problem is we don't pursue God that way, with that kind of same practical wisdom applied in daily life. Okay, number 7, render an account, live in the light, put your cards on the table, have people in your life who know exactly who you are so you're not walking alone. Okay, number 8, now this is, here's picking up where we left off yesterday. resolving to follow up. That is, we know that sometimes the Lord gives us insight. Are we taking it in? Are we following up on that insight? Sometimes we receive good counsel. Are we taking it in? Are we following it? Have we gotten good advice in the confessional? Are we actually resolved to focusing on that and persevering in this willing to follow Christ and become a saint? Number 9, single-mindedness. They really learn to not have a divided love. By God's grace, they knock down the idols that were present in their life. This is a big deal because they were concerned first about loving God first, putting first things first. As Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And they didn't want to dissipate their energy. They wanted to focus their energy on the things that mattered most. Then number 10 was purifying mixed motives, to be motivated for love of God and love of neighbor and not for glorifying ourselves, for example. Number 11 was live in the present moment. Don't be constantly worried about the past and beating yourself up about the past or anxious and worried about the future and missing the moment. Who's right in front of you to love? Like Mother Teresa, who's the one God's putting in front of you right now today that you're called to love as Christ loved? Number 12, mind your own business. Stay in your own lane. That's really good wisdom. It's good wisdom right now in the trial the church is in. This is kind of the stuff we've been talking about here among friends, and I talk about in other places when I'm giving a talk. How do you respond to the kind of crisis and the difficulty that the church is facing today? Now, there's a variety of things that entails prayer, fasting, being concerned. If you're aware of direct situations that you have responsibility for, you take responsibility for those. But in the main, you stay in your lane. That is, you fulfill on a daily basis the assignment that the Lord's giving you as a father, as a mother, as a parent, you name it, husband, wife. Number 13, sensitivity to God's presence. This was a big thing for the saints. St. Francis used to, his brother said, sometimes they'd be walking and he'd just feel the presence of the Lord coming on him, and he would just kind of step off to the side of the road and he would just stay there for a minute and to receive whatever grace the Lord was giving him in the moment. So being sensitive to God's presence, number 13. Number 14, continual prayer. Scripture is very clear. Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in every circumstance. We can learn how to have the habit of just being with the Lord all day long, even in a busy life, to be able to just remember him, to just simple little saying the name of Jesus, praying in the Spirit, you name it, to walk with him. So continual prayer. And then 15, renouncing trivialities. It was really difficult at a certain point to sidetrack the saints on trivial matters, things that didn't matter at all. They wanted to go for the gold. They wanted to go for what's at the heart of it all, the love of God, the love of neighbor, the passion for souls. That's where they lived. That's the life of a saint. And guess what? You can have that. As a CEO of a company, you can have it. As a mom, as a dad, as a football coach, as a truck driver, as a young person, a student, you name it. You can live this way. God will show you. God, if you want it, if you seek it, if you hunger for it, if you thirst for it, Jesus promised that you would get it. The question is, do we want it? Do we really want to be saints? That's the big question. Friends, God bless you. Say yes to it. We'll see you next week.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.